Good morning, CBC. It's a privilege to be here. Pastor Dan is in the Ukraine this weekend, ministering there with Barb, and I'm filling in for him. Also, there will be quite a few of among you who are from the Mandarin service, because most of the Mandarin church has gone on a camp this weekend to Pioneers. So we welcome the Putonghua speaking people. You're welcome here. 欢迎你们. Our story today took up an entire chapter in the book of Genesis. The story deals with a giant of faith in the Bible. His name is Abraham. At Jesus' time, the Jews, 2,000 years after Abraham, already had a great respect and pride that they were connected to him. They were descendants of this great man of faith. In the Bible, we find that God says of Abraham, he is my friend, a friend of God. What a wonderful title that would be. We know the stories of Abraham. They begin in chapter 12 of Genesis, and they go right through the half of chapter 25. That's just a bit over 25% of the entire book of Genesis. These chapters are about Abraham and his story. Now, chapter 20, if we were the one that were putting the Bible together, would be a chapter that we might want to leave out. It seems to be a great embarrassment to Abraham and his legacy. But yet, as we look at this story, we say, wow, we're like that too, aren't we? You know, the sinful nature is alive and well and kicking hard. Abraham was a man of faith. At this time in the story, it's been about 25 years since he was first approached by God, and God made this covenant with him and his descendants in chapter 12, saying that I will bless you, and through you all the world would be blessed. And we know that through the descendants of Abraham comes our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's plan of salvation was going to be worked out through the descendants of Abraham. And here we find Abraham in this chapter about 25 years later from the first time that God approached him and let him know of God's plan through him. At that time, Abraham was about 75 when we meet him. And so right here, he is either 99 or 100 years old. And we know that in the next year, Isaac is going to be born, his promised son, born through Sarah. And what do we find in this story here in chapter 20? We find that when he is tested again, he is going to fail a test. Oh yeah, he passed many other tests. In chapter 15, we see that God has come to him and God renewed this covenant with him and said, Abraham, I am going to be your shield. I am going to be your protector. But then as we see here, Abraham coming to this position here, he seemed to have forgotten those words, and fear for his own life overtook him and led him to commit a terrible sin. Let me call your attention to the first two verses of chapter 20. You have the little yellow sheet there that has the Bible passage there. Look at what it says here. Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. And while he stayed in Gerar, Now this is an area that is outside of the traditional boundaries of what would become the Promised Land. He moved south for some reason that we do not know. The preceding this story was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And from there, possibly Abraham chose not to stay in that place and moved on. He moved south, and this was the land of the Philistines, who later become really an existential threat to the nation of Israel. They are a threat to its existence. We know the battles between the Jewish people and the Philistines later on, the time of David. Goliath was a Philistine. And here we meet the Philistine king. His name is Abimelech. But actually, this is more than likely a title, meaning my father, the king. And it's not just this one king, because we see later on in another chapter when Isaac goes to this area, there's another Abimelech years later. So this Abimelech king wanted Sarah, Abraham's wife, to be a part of his harem. And when they moved into this area here, it says here that very soon Abraham is protecting himself, not thinking of Sarah. You know, no one is immune to sin. Not one person. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, if you think you are standing strong, be careful you don't fall. Writing to Christians in the New Testament. If you think you're standing strong, be careful that you do not fall. We all know the story of Peter, don't we? Peter, who had followed Jesus for 3 years, had seen those miracles, had heard the teaching of Jesus. But that night that Jesus was arrested, we know what Peter did. Oh, I don't know who he is. Never heard of him. Not me. He's not my friend. He denied his Lord. And at this time, we see that Abraham is going to commit a grave sin that will have an effect not just on him and Sarah, but on the entire community and the nation of the Philistines at that time. Now, look here in verse 3. Now, this is a horrible thing that happened to Abimelech. And it says in verse 3, the first two words that we have in our translation here, but God. Now, what happened in verse 1 and verse 2? We have the introduction. We have the story of Abimelech taking Sarah from Abraham. She is now part of his harem. And then in verse 3, but God. God is going to intervene and change the consequences of this terrible deed and story. You know, all of us have a but God story, don't we? What went on in our life before God intervened and changed us and moved us and inspired us to accept him and receive forgiveness? What is your but God story? God intervened and changed the outcome of all of this. Look in verse 3 what he says to Abimelech in a dream. You are as good as dead. Now that's one holy nightmare, wouldn't it be? God says to you, you are as good as dead. And then he explains that the woman you have taken, she is a married woman. And then we learn that she had not yet been presented to the king. You know, in those harems with all of the wives and the concubines that they had, we learn from the Old Testament, the book of Esther, when she went to be a part of the harem of the king there, it took a long time of preparation and beauty treatments before she was finally presented to the king. So possibly we could understand that was happening here, but we do know that she was not touched by the king at all during this episode here. Now, Abimelech tries to defend himself before the Lord. He says, my conscience was clear. I did not touch her. I did not know. I was told by Abraham that she was his sister. I am innocent in all of this. And so he kind of argues with the Lord. Well, didn't you know that I am innocent in all of this? And it's very interesting here. Look at in verse 6. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know. I know that you're innocent. I know that you did this with a clear conscience. And when you look at verse 6, we have God saying, I know, I have kept, and I did not let you touch her. Look how God's role in this story is. God is saying that I am active. All of these horrible things happen. The plan of God was about to be derailed. What was God's salvation plan? That through Abraham and Sarah and their descendants, the Messiah would come. And now if she had gone to stay in this harem for a while, the descendancy would have been put into question. Was Isaac really Abraham's son or would he be Abimelech's son? You can imagine. There would have been a question. But here we have very clear that God is saying, I know and I have kept you. I am the one that have kept you from being with Sarah. God is active. God is a part of his redemptive plan, and he wasn't going to let it be derailed at all. God says, I know, I have kept you, and that's why I did not let you touch her. I have kept you from sinning. God is active behind the scenes in your life and in my life. How many times has God intervened to protect us, to save us, to keep us from sinning? We don't know. God was there active. He didn't know, but God was there. And when we put our life in his hands, God is certainly there on a daily basis protecting us. You know, even as we drive these crazy freeways of Houston at times, how many times has God protected us from an accident? I've thought of that. You know, we got home and, wow, we saw some dangerous things happening on the freeway, you know, but we got home safe and sound. God was active. God is there to protect us. Now, what happens when a great sin like this is committed? Was Abraham and Sarah the only one that were affected by this? Absolutely not. Sin is like shrapnel in a war. A weapon is fired and shrapnel, pieces of metal, can go out and kill all kind of innocent people. We look at the damages that were done in this. Look at and imagine Abraham's witness before this heathen idol-worshiping king. Abraham is the one with the knowledge of God, with the one who should have been the one to teach and to teach morals, and there's only one God. But now Abimelech is the one who is shocked at the immorality, the lying Abraham, who is supposed to follow God. Think what kind of witness is that? Abraham is the one who lost his witness before this heathen king. The king knew that what Abraham did was wrong. He didn't even have to know Jehovah God to know that this was wrong. The first chapter of Romans tells us that God takes his law and he writes it where? In our heart. You know, I found in my missionary years around the world with different cultures and people of different religions, you never have to tell them what is right and what is wrong. They already know it. But what to do about sin, that's the thing they do not know. And here in this story, we see that Abimelech certainly knows what is right and what is wrong. And then look at verse 10. Abimelech is going to ask a question to Abraham. What was your reason for doing this? What was your reason? Why did you do such an evil thing? Allow your wife to be taken away by another man. Why did you do this? Well, what is the real reason? Abraham was worried about number one, wasn't he? I am the only one important in this episode. Even Sarah, my wife of so many years, she's second place. I'm afraid. Let her be the one who is the victim, not me. Terrible thing that would have happened. But you know, in this story, Sarah is not the only victim in this story. What did God do as a punishment to the nation? He closed the womb. The Hebrew tells us he tightly closed the womb, that no babies were going to be born. No woman could conceive during this time that Sarah was with Abimelech's harem. Really, we could say the whole nation of the Philistines at that time, his clan and his nation there in that place, was in peril because of one man's sin. The shrapnel, the damage done by one man's sin. How many times have we thought, you know, I can get by with this. No one will know. I'm the only one. Maybe another person is involved. But the Bible is so clear with so many examples so many examples of how one man's sin has affected many, his family, his closest friends, and the whole nation at this time. The Philistine nation was at peril because of Abraham's sin. He's the one that should have brought to them the truth, the light, but he was the one that represented darkness to them at that time. And so we see here that Abraham is going to answer the king, say, like, why did you do this? What was the motive behind this? And then it's interesting here that Abraham says, well, she really is my sister. It's kind of this half-truth. The purpose of this half-truth was really to deceive, wasn't it? It was to deceive. And then he says, you know, when I came to this place, I did not think there were any righteous people here. There was no fear of God in this place, as verse 11 tells us. What does Abraham do? What does he say? Now, in my translation here, it says, Abraham says, I said to myself, there is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. I said to myself, that's another word for I thought so, you know, when I thought through it. That was a great mistake on his part to think he should have prayed. He should have gone to God for wisdom. He saw the situation. There may be danger in the situation. The fear overtook him, and he devised a scheme to protect his hide. Where was God in his thoughts? The God that earlier had said, I am going to give you descendants like the stars in the sky. And he was an old man and his wife was old. And the Bible says he believed. He was a man of faith. He believed God. And God credited to him as righteousness. But here a few chapters later, when he's afraid, he's scheming to protect himself. The God that can give him descendants, the God that protected him before. Where is that God? What happened to Abraham? He forgot about God? It's hard to imagine. Now, here we see that God tells Abimelech that Abraham is a prophet, is a prophet. We see in verse 7 here that this word prophet in English, the Navi in Hebrew, this is the first time in the Bible that that word prophet is used. I bet Abraham would be surprised too. God said, you are a prophet now. Like, oh yeah, wow. What is the role of a prophet or a priest? It's to be the spokesman for God, the in-between between God and the people. In the very beginning, when the people started to meet God in the desert, when they received the covenant of the Ten Commandments there, and God spoke to them through Moses, and God spoke to them directly, they could hear. They said, oh no, God, when we hear you directly, it's full of fear. And so please speak through just Moses. And here we see that Abraham, who should have been the one to speak for God, is now the one that's covering up the truth that could have helped those people. That sinful nature is alive and well. Where was God at that moment? Certainly disappointed, but God did not give up on Abraham, did he? God intervened. God came and changed the situation. God came and redeemed the situation. We see here in verse 13 that this plan that he had hadn't happened just this one time, but it happened before. That when they first set out on this wandering away from, in chapter 12 we have Haran, the land of his ancestors. When they set out on this trek down to the promised land, Abraham already had a scheme going in his mind there. If we ever encounter any dangers and any of the men want to take my wife and I may be killed, you just say that you're my sister. Remember, he went down to Egypt, the second part of chapter 12. And in Egypt, Pharaoh had Sarah into his harem and God had intervened and saved her there. And here, 25 years later, it's a repeat. A repeat of the same thing. You know, sins do tend to repeat, don't they, in our life? Over and over and over again. Repetitive sins. God also can cure those. God is able. He is powerful. He wants to. He will, when we ask him, to come into our life, to interfere. You can tell the story that before I met God, my life was like this. But when God came into my life was completely changed. God can intervene and God can save us. Now we see here that when Abraham says to Abimelech, he was telling him that when God had me wander away from my father's household, this was my plan. We can see that in this passage here, that at that time it was quite dangerous. There was just Abraham and a few handful of servants in chapter 12 of Genesis. He wasn't the powerful prince of the land yet, with 318 armed men that he went and fought and he got Lot back. He was still, in chapter 12, a small group of people there. And God was the only one that had protected him, even with his scheme. But Abraham had not learned his lesson here. Now, when this was exposed to Abimelech, and he knew that Sarah actually was his wife, he tried to make things right. God told him that Abraham will pray for you, and he will pray for you, and you will not die. Abraham didn't know that yet, did he? And you know what Jesus told us to pray for whom? For our enemies too, didn't he? Jesus told us, pray for your enemies. And Abraham's prayer was going to make things right. And so there are three gifts that he gives. One gift is of animals, cattle, that he gave to Abraham to make amends, to say he was sorry. And then he says, okay, you have the choice of any place in the land, fertile fields, water, wells, whatever you want. You have the choice to stay in my country and you can settle down there. And then he gives 1,000 shekels of silver, about 25 pounds or whatever that would be worth of silver in reparation for what had happened there, to beg forgiveness of Abraham and seek Abraham's prayer that would save him and save the people. In verse 17, at the end of the chapter, we see that Abraham prayed to God and God healed Abimelech, his wife, his female slaves, so they could have children again. For the Lord had kept all the women in Abimelech's household from conceiving because of Abraham's wife, Sarah. Wonder how Sarah came through this. Wonder what she thought. Was Abraham diminished in her eyes? I would think so. You know, if that's what he thinks, you know, he's letting me go and be a part of that harem just to save his hide. Abraham didn't think about her, did he? And this had happened that we know of two times, possibly even more. So when you look in the Bible, all these great men of faith in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we look at their lives of great deeds and faith. Sometimes we may feel, oh boy, I can never be like that. My weak faith. But stories like this, stories that tell us about great King David and his sin with Bathsheba, tell us that, you know, we're no different from them. Not at all. They have a sinful nature that's still there, and so do we. And it's something that we must struggle with. Not to accept it, but to continually understand that we are not perfect and never will be in this physical body. Abraham learned a difficult lesson. We see in the next chapter, the great event that had been promised did come to pass, and Isaac was born. Brought joy to him. And God said that Isaac, what is the meaning of the name Isaac? It's he laughs, you know, a joy, a time of joy. God's promise and plan of salvation was going to be carried out, no matter who tried to derail it. In our story today, let's think, in conclusion, who are all the different characters in our story here? Well, we have Abraham. We have Sarah, of course. We have Abimelech. We have Abimelech's family, his clan, his nation. And of course, God, who intervenes and changes everything. All of these have a different part to play in our story. But I would put before you today, there is another character in this story that is unseen, but still very active in this story. And this is Satan, our enemy. He was the one that would have loved to have derailed God's plan, to put a question mark on Sarah and her purity and her descendants. He was the one that wanted to bring spoil to what God was doing. From the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden, he is that one. And you and I need to be aware that our enemy, the devil, is active. He is active like a roaring lion, right? We need to be strong and not depend upon our own schemes, thinking, and our own plans without the Lord. But we need to fall on our knees and say, Lord, I am weak, but you are strong. And I need you. I need you daily to walk daily with you, because our enemy wants to bring shame upon us and bring shame upon our witness, like it happened in this story. Thank God that he is active, that he plays an active role in our life. Praise be to God. Amen.